battery idea, your idea, you can take us through. It does that. I was commenting about MDDA to say the end. Such a massive job which they must perform with 23 people. I just still don't believe the staff complement which we've seen before us. But you can take us through. Thank you.
Afternoon, and thank you very much. I know I'm particularly a few members as well. Thank you for being here and going through the long haul. I know it's been a long 2 weeks or so. So we commit to being as speedy as we can be without compromising on detail, because we're here to share with you some of that. In the debrief I've had, we will focus on areas that we believe I'm not in line with the achievements, because we'd like to be able to applaud the achievements and have you hear it, but I'm sure you've been through the annual report as well. So we'll just focus on the critical areas. As chair of the IMC, I must apologize that two of my members, executive committee members who were here with us this morning, had to unfortunately leave back to Johannesburg without having the opportunity of interacting with yourself. Because of other commitments. So it's unfortunate, and we do table the chair of our marketing committee and the chair of our partnership committee that plan to join us. I'm joined by the CEO, Melinda Triller, and our CSO, recently appointed, and we are pleased to have her on board with us as well. I want you, if you look at your presentation and the slides that we're going to cut through very quickly, I have previously, with the committee, run through what our mandate is, how do we seek to achieve it, etc. So against that background, I want to take it that we are at one in relation to what the objective of the organization is without spending too much time on that. Obviously, derived from our mandate is the vision, and out of that is how do we plan to achieve outcomes that then speak to the issue of our mandate and our strategic objectives, both internationally as well as domestically. And these are what are planned outcomes in terms of brand alignment all the way down to sustainable organizations. And then in terms of the outcome that we set ourselves strategically to achieve as the IMC, yes, we are an organization that are the brand custodian for Brand South Africa, and therefore we have to seek alignment across the board at every tier of government, as well as in terms of other stakeholders, be that private sector or public sector, and be able to impact positively on Brand South Africa, or the perceptions of Brand South Africa. We are pleased in terms of the highlights of this financial year, and I want to focus essentially on the last three on those bullet points, and that is that for the first time there has been a valuation, a monetary valuation put to a brand in regard to a nation's brand, and we were pleased to be the top brand in Africa. So on the continent, we are the leaders. And the quantum in terms of the value of this brand for South Africa sits at $135 billion. And it's always good when you look at return on investment. And Chair, I'm pleased to tell you, with a team of about 35 on organizational structure, with about 26 odd bodies, warm bodies in place, that is the value that we bring to the country in terms of the valuation of the brand. So we're very pleased with that, and we're pleased that in the inaugural year we were the top brand on the continent. In addition to that, we received the second highest positive perception rating in terms of the BBC poll that was held in March this year. And then our world our influence in the world rose from 35% to 42%, which means that we're increasingly influencing not only the continent's agenda, but also the world's agenda. And with that, as in terms of high-level achievements, I want to hand over to our CEO, who will talk to you about the detail of the rest of the annual report. Thank you.
So, if you are saying you have the highest or bigger brand in Africa, you mean competing with Swaziland too, and the two? No, I'm just checking.
Chair, absolutely, they are part of the continent, and we don't downplay that. But we're saying against, for example, the leaders or who have been defeated, the leaders such as Egypt, as well as Nigeria, which is a growing economy on the continent and really being competitive as they are. So we're talking about all countries on the continent.
Including Libya.
Including Libya. And we know that the Arab Spring may very well have influenced our rating, but this, by the way, was done before the uprising.
If you don't understand, ask me when you finish. I will.
Well, thank you very much, Chair, and honorable members. As our chairman has already indicated, there were some highlights during the course of the year. What we will do is very just go very quickly through some of the impacts and some of the areas where we probably need to just give an indication as to why our performance is at the stage where it is. One of the things we've done in the past year is really to put in place measures to try and ensure that we can measure our initiatives as Brand South Africa. But also what we've done is to look at the impact, because we believe our outcomes must create impact, and these impacts are not necessarily solely within the purview of Brand South Africa and within the control of Brand South Africa alone. It's all road layers who really influence these impacts. But our initial projects and activities do impact. We measure our nation brand index in the same way as we measure the equity, the value of the brand. And in the financial year under review, we fell two places in 2010 from position 35 to 2009 in terms of the nation brand index. In terms of the World Global Competitiveness Index, done by the World Economic Forum, we fell about 9 places to 54. And that was likely because some of the countries we are competing with really made some very significant reforms, and that placed them ahead of us. In terms of media reputation, you see that we did well, because the 50.3 is an acceptable score if you look at how the media rates you as a country across the globe. So they were slightly below the target, but it fell within the acceptable range, which is a good range of 50 for them. The chair has already talked about our brand valuation, which moved quite significantly. In the interest of time, I will not go through all the different initiatives that we did throughout the year. So I will simply, with your permission, skip to what is really the summary, but the sum total of our initiatives contributed towards the key outcomes that we wanted, which is the increased pride and patriotism, developing a brand strategy, creating alignment around stakeholders, and much, much more importantly, launching a campaign to really position South Africa on the continent and with domestically as well. Our play of our Fly the Flag campaign, our Football Friday campaign, which received much acclaim and helped a lot to mobilize South Africans and increase pride and patriotism. In the study done between ourselves and GCIS, you have seen that five levels when we surveyed them towards the end of the year were about 90%, which we believe was a significant achievement. Reputation, we measure our reputation as a country across the globe, and as I said, we closed the financial year with an average of about 50. We were at a very high level just after the World Cup, but subsequent to the public service strikes, obviously there was quite a lot of reporting on that, and it did bring us down, but we closed the year, financial year, with a 50 average. Also important is to look at how some of the initiatives, especially in terms of our media programs, continued to change perceptions globally. But more important is within the BRICS market, where you saw really strong and positive coverage about South Africa, which attests to this increasing stature and growth globally. You will find that in markets like China, where we had the Rio Shanghai Expo and we had the state visits as well as the trade missions, there was significant positive reporting in the course of the year. We also used various events to position South Africa globally, notable being the WEF Davos, the Shanghai Expo, the Bread Africa Forum, and also supported quite a number of international trade missions with the DTI. And it is significant to see that it is in those markets where we have seen more positive perceptions as well as media reporting. We also targeted the continent and actually had marketing programs with some of the countries which were participating in the World Cup. And post the World Cup, we did a survey which showed that the perceptions about South Africa have increased in a very positive way, especially if you look at places such as West Africa, Uganda, Nigeria, who rated South Africa very positively. But you see that across the board as well in the part of North Africa. Internationally, we also did quite a lot of work, especially in our key markets, the US and the UK, where we have offices. And lastly, that was mainly media programs, because you recall before the World Cup, there was quite a lot of negativity. So we had to combat quite a lot of that negativity and really push out positive stories, especially the fact that South Africa was ready to hold the World Cup. We maintained a very strong online presence, the members, and you'll see with the increased figures that our website as well as our social media really worked for South Africa during the course of the financial year. If you look at the percentage increases in some of the areas, for instance, the media club, where the media draw their stories, which they then go on to write or publish, it showed a significant increase of more than 67%, so showing that the content that is out there is being utilized by the media, both locally and internationally. In the country reports, we also had quite a number of activations in the USA, where a team approach, so that in the UK, was established. We had a lot of roundtable discussions with fund managers, with investors, and continued the media program. And during the World Cup, we staged the activations in New York, Washington, and D.C. In the UK as well, under the leadership of the High Commissioner, we continued a strong media program there as well. One of the things we do is to try to augment our budget and work in partnership and with and through stakeholders, as our chairman has said. We also leveraged some value, whether it was in cash or in contributions. In total for the year, really, the contribution, whether it's been value added either by corporates or business, amounted to about 16 million, which augmented our budget. As I said, some of it came in cash, others in sponsorship, and others other funds would have been partnerships with other government departments. We also sought to establish a sustainable organization, and the chair will speak to that as to some of the issues going forward that were planned, but we implemented the new organizational structure, focused on implementing the new mandate, and we, through the board, approved representation in the new markets, such as South America, Brazil, in China, where we are looking to have a representation, as well as on the continent. So we received approval to appoint program managers in some of those countries. There were, in terms of corporate governance and control, we just want to highlight a few issues. We worked on the governance structures and the documents such as our board charter, We also effected amendments to our trust deed. The risk registers and the profiles for the year were also assessed and through our board approved, and management tasked with ongoing management of those. Chair and members, there are obviously two issues. One would like to highlight that during the course of the year, we had two disciplinary inquiries involving two senior managers, our CFO, as well as our director for stakeholder relations. Following those disciplinary inquiries, they were dismissed. And lastly, in respect of the irregular expenditure, which involved the deviation from the policies established by the board of Bread South Africa. There was an instance of fruitless and wasteful expenditure, which relates to a contract which we entered into in 2008, I believe. And when we reviewed the terms of this contract, because we are not getting any value from the assets, which were printers and copiers, our lawyers highlighted that we couldn't get ourselves out of the contract, so we will have to write that off. But that again relates to the matter of the CFO, although he was not charged for this particular issue. Our CFO will talk to the issue of the surplus funds at the end of the year. I just want to highlight here that the surplus funds were partly due to the stoppage of the payoff line, or the slogan for the country which we had developed, which we had to stop as a result of issues that came up there. And one of the officials obviously involved in marketing was also subjected to disciplinary inquiry and subsequently dismissed. However, we had, because we had to put the implementation of the payoff line on hold, we were left to say surplus there for about 10 million. The rest of it is commitment, which however has been expressed, and the CFO will speak to those. We have requested the National Treasury to allow us to roll over the fund. Chair, I will quickly move through these and allow the CFO to take us through some of the financial information. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. The slide is indicative of our performance that we've achieved, especially when we look at the marketing cost compared to the actual GCI exchange rate, which is around about 64%. And then for the current year, we've got a surplus of 24 million, which we've asked the National Treasury to roll over. But I will refer you to page 22 of our annual report, where I will talk to the total accumulated surplus of about 36.8 million. And note, in our annual report again, note 22, there are committed expenditures. For 2010, it's 9 million. For 2011, it's 17 million. And those were reflected as committed costs because at the time of the audit, there wasn't a constructive obligation, but then they were subsequently paid in the current year. And then 9 million, 17 million, and 10 million cumulatively come to the surplus, the accumulated surplus that you currently have. There are issues that the CEO has alluded to regarding the significant expenditure and the irregular expenditure. We have taken some steps, corrective steps, to get that in order. We are going to review the organogram, whereby we want to bring in the supply chain management skills on board so that they can look at the SCM procedures and ensure that they are followed to the matter to avoid issues like these ones. And we will be appointing a SCM practitioner in the near future. I think I've covered all the issues around the annual report.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shall I pass on to the chair to give a special presentation?
Okay. So against the background of the fact that there were lessons learned, and there were many lessons learned, we, you know, spent a lot of time as a board on consolidating the governance framework of the organization. As a board that was appointed in December 2009, found that it was a very fluid environment. There weren't too many structures or the institutions didn't have a sound framework, and the board set itself a roadmap, which said consolidate, get your foundation right. And from there was the issue of ensuring that we continuously responded to our mandate and checked continuously that we're doing what we were in the business of doing and not getting carried away, which can very often happen, and do things that we get distracted with. Having gone through the 2010 frenzy and then allowing ourselves to consolidate, we then, in terms of the way forward, have after the slight bump, not major bump, was the country positioning statement, and that is the payoff line. We have now got a process where there is a stakeholder approach to develop in that. And that is on track, and we're hoping in the Q1 of 2012 we should be in a position to unveil. Then in terms of the strategic positioning of the entity, to date, or up to recently, Brand South Africa reported it via GCIS in regard to its executive authority. That function has been moved to the presidency, and hence the administration and direction is given to Brand South Africa out of the presidency. This is also concurrent with how nation branding works internationally, because Brand Custodian number one is the office of the presidency, because it represents what the country stands for. And is also seen as being that bridge between the private sector and the public sector as well. So with that, the strategic position of Brand South Africa has been achieved in being located within the presidency. We're also looking at, in this phase ahead of us, that the alignment of stakeholders, and particularly chair and members, around intergovernmental support is going to be paramount to the success of Brand South Africa collectively, in that we need to start moving that every single tier of government starts singing from the same hymn sheet, as it were, and that we, in that process, also get economies of scale. Besides just the messaging out there that we're not a Christmas tree with different brands and different names, etc., that we are in actual fact one brand and we stand for certain values which are entrenched in our brand pillars. And within this, we're also saying that there has to be an alignment of what Brand South Africa seeks to achieve through its mandate, feeding through right from policy, strategy, and into monitoring and evaluation. Because it cannot be an adjunct with just a standard for nice to do, because then we're not serious about our brand, and the value that we derive out of our brand is going to continuously be eroded. And we need to build on it so that we become a blue chip brand in terms of country. And then to develop a partnership model, because one of the things that we do seek to do is to make sure that the organization's sustainability on the one level and its reach goes beyond what it has in the institution. And we can only do this through a partnership approach, and that is to draw in the influential individuals, the organizations, etc., who then become the parties that take forward the objectives that are set for Brand South Africa. And obviously, we cannot achieve anything in the country unless we mobilize our citizens, because they're the ones that are going to walk the brand and talk the brand. And obviously, the other is in terms of and feeding through the stakeholder alignment is those key entities and government departments that play a role in support of not only active citizenship and pride and patriotism and things like that, but also in terms of taking the country forward in terms of the global arena. And hence, the GOCOs of the world are very important. We will be using certain strategic events and platforms to be able to promote our mandate and achieve our objectives. One such is in the next month in terms of COP17, when the world will be focusing on our country itself. We did that as best as we could with resources available during the Soccer World Cup 2010. We did that with the IOC Congress that took place in the country, and we'll continue to do so. Very timely is the fact that, in spite of the fact that our team has returned at the Rugby World Cup, we ran Kaya Village, which also gave a presence of what South Africa stands for in all of its elements. Whether it was art, culture, food, business, etc., it was all brought together in the village that was set up there. And these are the sort of platforms that we want to continuously create and explore, and obviously the World Economic Forum and all BRICS platforms that are available to us. And we do support leadership outward and inward state visits, where we host inbound state visits, heads of state, etc., so that we get our airtime out of the media that's accompanying them as well, as much as we'd like to be able to get it when we're outside the country. And then hosting and focusing on bringing the media from around the world on media tours, educational into our country so that they can write for themselves, rather than doing it through correspondence and syndicated news around the world. It's to bring in these groups, and we've had in the last month a group of about 20 journalists, 70 journalists that we hosted in the country, and they do, you know, and with the support of the provinces and the various cities. So that gives you an idea of where we're hoping to go to, so when we come back and report to you next year, you can test us again, that's it. With that, ladies and gentlemen, Chair, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Member, Honorable Killian, Mutua, Michael, Van der Berg. There is a contestation of the young, and but I won't go into that. Honorable Killian.
This agency and the Department of International Relations, as well as the relations
between the GCIA
and the IMC. That's just the first question. Secondly,
I was looking at
the staff costs. We look at the total transfer from the national system
this year, 170 million. As we look at the staff cost, which was running at 18 million, in particular the very what is the word that I'm looking for? It is also, in addition to the salary package, the very favorable emolument that is there, and pension building up on page 80, bonus payments, pension contributions, etc., and medical aid contributions. Then it comes to mind that one needs to identify exactly what is the contribution is it necessary to have a separate agency in addition to the other organs of state? And are you not sometimes in competition with each other? Are you not creating an agency for the sake of having an agency, for having executives with comfortable So that is certainly one concern. And the other concern is, if we're looking at the year under review, it is clear that we had an exceptional period because it was soccer fever. Is it not going to be extremely difficult to maintain and to grow from where you were internationally as the brand? Going forward, to sustain it and to build on it, and not to lose ground that you gained in the period, and consequently, the value for money aspect of this whole agency going forward. If we're looking at how do you quantify the brand equity, how do you get there? Is it a sort of a figure how is it calculated? Just the reputation management. What is the impact of events international? For instance, what is the reputational damage that is done if South Africa does something wrong either in the IOU or with some other relationship issue with another country? Is there something that you could pick up with that actually has a negative impact, and how do you manage that? And then we noticed the rollover that you requested,
And I suppose Treasury will look at that favorably.
Thank you. Yes, I see you in the first text on one of the questions I would like to ask you about the sliding path. The bullet 3 on the committee constitutes a legal proceeding where it says pre-disciplinary inquiries involving two senior managers were conducted. It is not clear to us or to myself what the disciplinary inquiry is about. Can they elaborate on that? And to the senior managers, and how was it finalized? And when they found out that they were involved in whatever, because I see, and there are also legal proceedings, can they just unpack that? Because, you know, we dealt with the issues yesterday whereby people had committed, you know, an incident and were released. After that, they are just released without anything being done. I would like them to unpack this for me. It's the bullet 3 and 4 and 5. If they could really elaborate on what has happened. Thank you.
And explain the possibility of golden handshake. Pandarva? Oh, Michael. I wanted to start with and finish with, so you want me to finish with, it's fine.
Here we go.
Chair, I just have a few questions and a few comments. In the valuation of the brand, in my previous incarnation before a member of parliament, I worked at an IT law firm. And one of the things we obviously did was valuations of trademarks and brands. So I think I have a very good understanding of how quickly your valuation can drop. With the example of the whole saga of the Dalai Lama, what kind of impact will that have on the value of brand South Africa? Because there we see, what is it, $134 billion. Now, to be ranked 34th in the world in terms of your mark, your country's mark, that's pretty impressive. But how do you stay up that high? And I think that's what Honourable Kieran was saying. What kind of international, that, you know, the international incidences, because that's what they are. How do they affect the mark? And it's sad to think that something like that will affect the mark. Chairman, also, with regards to what we spoke about earlier about patriotism, I must say on page 5 of your presentation, slide number 5, you had 9 million South Africans supporting the Blue Doors, so I'm very happy to say I'm one of them. and in that regard, for example, you wouldn't associate Pretoria with anything except a jacaranda tree or the Blue Doors. So in that respect, those two particular marketing tools have been used outstandingly well. Who are South Africa's brand ambassadors? Do we have specific celebrities that we have? Like, you know, the United Nations has goodwill ambassadors and things like that. Do we have brand ambassadors? Because I certainly don't know. I think of myself, especially when I'm overseas, as a brand ambassador, because I'm exceptionally proud of South Africa. But do we have something like that? I'm actually very sad that the World Cup, the Soccer World Cup and the Rugby World Cup are over. Because now I'm trying to think of an excuse to dress up on a Friday.
That's how well the marketing around Football Friday and Rugby Friday and Cricket Protea Friday went. I still want my flag on my car. So I think that it's something that we as South Africans should look at, that we constantly have something that we're being proud of, because that works exceptionally well. And then just my last comment is your website. Now, there was a little bit of confusion yesterday, and the lady sitting, you told me it was very South Africa, because I didn't know whose website it was. It's singularly the most outstanding website I've ever been on. But there's one tiny problem. I didn't realize it was brand South Africa's website. Because the logos, everyone's logos, are so similar. So, you know, there I was discussing this outstanding website, and then someone had to come and tell me, no, but actually that's brand South Africa. Because I didn't realize. And it is the most outstanding website. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I just want to congratulate the CEO and especially the Chairperson and the CFO. It was a very, very professional presentation. Thank you. One can see that you know what you're talking about and you are extremely professional. And I'm glad that people like you represent me and all the other people of South Africa and to build our brand. I'm very proud of you. There's one thing I also want to touch on, this whole turnaround strategy. For instance, it works in life like that. Everything is running very well for a week or two or three, and suddenly there's a sort of hiccup. Especially your turnaround time for you to react and to do some damage control, and that's also always necessary. If there's a big wave coming, it's not like stopping it with your hand. It takes some time for the water to settle down and everything. And even the minds of people, it takes some time to settle everyone down and say, okay, it's not so bad, and so on. That's the turnaround time. I'm actually also glad that the IMC is in the President's office. Now, maybe you won't answer me, but I think it's very important. If you as the International Marketing Council, can you go into the President's office, make an appointment with him and say, oh, Mr. President, we've got a problem here. In future, please, Mr. President, don't say that like that. You understand what I mean? Yeah, the President listens to you. I think that's very important. Otherwise, you can't brand South Africa properly. Or, for instance, one of the other prominent people in South Africa told him to say, hey, please, calm down. Maybe you phoned Junior Palermo, the one or two guys or whatever. But that's my idea. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I don't want you to tell me to intervene after some time when Julia is with you. Over you, Chair. Killer?
Just want to ask, on page 76, could we press to get clarity? I note that the external audit fee was actually quite high. It was lower than last year, but it's still quite high. It's 2%, not the norm. And if 2% was the norm, then it should have been about 304 to 310,000. It's not such a huge account to audit. What made it so very expensive? Could you perhaps just get an explanation, thank you. Okay, thank you very much, and thank you for the members for some very constructive questions that you asked. I just want to kick off, and then I'm going to do the power of the mere chair of the board to direct to the best, the most competent people to answer the rest. This is related to, and I think that the first question by
relationship, and what then, how do you manage the fact that you could be in a competitive space? And essentially, you know, just in terms of brand management, and you know, I'm urged to use private sector as an example. And you know, could you say, unless you use the German brand of a vehicle, that you would have different plants, different showrooms, different types of selling skills that would sell a particular model of a Mercedes Benz.
Or any other luxury
vehicle. Okay. All right. So just hearing that, so that we don't take positions on this. But what you do need is that the brand promises excellence, brand superiority, quality assurance, efficiency, etc. And that sits almost in a space which supersedes your manufacturing and your sales, etc., and is overarching. And essentially, brand management, which has what has made most of the successful companies in the world stand out, is they've managed their brands well. And they said, we're in the business of manufacturing vehicles, you know, cooking food, whatever it is, we're in the business of. But we're going to take care of this brand as well. And on that basis, it's very clear what your role is. And hence my earlier point in terms of, you know, setting out how we operate. We are not the doers of any one of those core competencies. So we never seek to go and market the country for investment, because that is DCI's job. We don't seek to market the country for tourism, because that is the Department of Tourism's role and its different entities. But what we do seek to do is create an alignment so that TISA is not going off and saying its own thing in the world that is contrary to what the generic message is for the country. So in practical terms, what does this mean? We go and we host, a pavilion at the Shanghai Expo. And you've got DTI there with Trade and Investment South Africa, you've got WESCO there, you've got Jeddah there, you've got all the different economic development agencies in the country. And what we used to have about 3-4 years ago is this real Christmas tree. And if you walked in, you didn't know you were talking about South Africa Inc. because there wasn't this overlying coordination. We are called upon by our partners, and they really are, in a way, they're our clients, that DTI, Zerco, etc., to say, we're going out to a particular country or often culture, we're doing this for Heritage Day, we'd like Brand South Africa to be the coordinator of the brand image, and that's the role we play. So we don't go and implement, or hence we don't compete. Now that, members and chair, is very different to where it was 2.5-3 years ago. That was the competitive space it was in then, and hence we've had to do the realignment and make sure that we consistently check that we're responding to our mandate and not, on the one hand, getting into other turf, duplicating expenditure, but also more importantly, are not seen as competitors by our very clients. So we understand who is the client, who our partners are, and our entire approach is collaborative. Because we don't have a product to sell in terms of investment or tourism, etc. That competency and that mandate sits with somebody else. And they get measured against that. So, you know, and that really is where, you know, we come from in terms of responding to that. And that really speaks to the other point that was raised in terms of the collaboration that we, you know, enjoy with the rest of not only the public sector, but also the private sector. I want to make the last point on this in terms of clarification is that when one looks at the budget, and you always think about, well, what's our ROI on this budget? As government, as taxpayers, what are we getting back for the money we invest here? Okay. And is this worth the while? We believe that if we go and integrate brand management between right from policy, strategy, and into monitoring and evaluation, we ought to be limiting duplication of expenditure. where we have marketing agencies designing logos from zero base, reinventing the wheel across the board from local authorities all the way to national government departments on the one level. And that should bring additional economies of scale and savings in terms of how we spend our tax money. So that, you know, in relation to the spend. In terms of the question around the brand valuation, we'd love to sit in a dark room and cook up our own numbers, but we didn't. This is an international benchmark, which is Respected Brand PLC out of the UK, are the custodians of the methodology. They're recognized as being globally the valuators around that. So there's very clear principles, indicators, etc., that you measured against. And so this is a number that they come up with. And we subject ourselves to that because we'd like to know how we benchmark with the rest of the world. Then there is the question around tactical, being light on your feet, and addressing surprises. That's candidacy. We're in, as much as we are a country, and we'd like to think of us as being objectively this little piece of heaven. We do have a population between 48 million and 50 million juries out from that of different actors that play a role in different realms of life, be it in business, politics, media, etc. How they breathe, how they walk, how they talk impacts on how the world perceives us. Now, with the best will in the world, there isn't a recipe around us. What we've got to have is mitigation strategies. And on that level, I want to now hand over to the team who will tell you how then, within our reputation management, how do we use these indices and these indicators to inform what we would do. So what? You have an action and it throws us down the curve. How are we going to pick ourselves up? And my last point is, and I always use very big amounts, very simple excuse, you know, example for this. If we've got a wedding in our family, we're all working as if our, you know, it's all crazy. And we're all working for years, for months on end towards this date called the wedding. And then the wedding happens and we stand back and we say it's over, what happens next? Soccer, World Cup 2010, Rugby World Cup. Now, we can't be a nation that only revolves around events. And hence the point of how do we get these icons to be a way of life? How do we put up that flag? And the President mentioned this in his State of the Nation address, where the icons of the flag, etc., and we work with the Ministry of Arts and the Department of Arts and Culture on this because it is their mandate, and we work with them in terms of taking that forward. Because we can't only wait for events to be able to put up the flag. With that, I'm going to hand over to the CEO, who will take us through some of the issues, particularly the technical issues around how do we handle protections after, and then our CFO will respond to the money.
Thank you, Chair. With respect to the question around the, you know, incidents, I just want to add to what the chairman said. That we track short, medium and long-term impact, obviously, of these events. Now, in the short term, you will see that, you know, particular events, external events, do impact on how the brand of South Africa is perceived. And you'll see that in that particular graph which I put up there. And if you look at the you know, the peaks and valleys, it correlates with specific events or occurrences. Or it could be particular external events. And obviously what we need to do from a brand reputation management point of view is to either contextualize the policy issues that are causing that dip. We obviously need to put out their communications that clarify this. And because we work with the partners and agencies internationally, they track on a daily basis the impact of our business. And we can actually be able to tell you that it is having an impact in the market or it is not, because the media reputation is not taking a dip. If you look at the you know, the quantum in terms of positive versus negative reporting, as well as the subjects that they're reporting about, you are able then to take an informed decision and to say, is this something that we should be responding to? Because collateral, you could be sending messages by responding to something that is actually not having an impact either on the investor community or on the media. But we also look in the long term at some of these indices, and we don't only look at the World Economic Forum GCI. We look at the Nation Brand Index, we look at the Modi Ibrahim Index, the Doing Business Index, and one of the things that, as part of the reporting that the board does, obviously, is to obviously elevate these issues to the executive authority. If you look at the global, you know, competitive index, if one of the issues that's coming up is education, our secondary school enrollment, our tertiary enrollment at 15%, and that's one of the areas that's bringing us down, the board would normally highlight this, but what we do beyond that is actually try and impact that area by having partnerships with that particular you know, department. For instance, with the Department of Education, that's why you see us very closely involved with the Adopted School and with all other campaigns in education where they, for instance, reached out to business to try and get business to support schools. We would then get involved in that because we understand the impact of education on the particular index in terms of the World Economic Forum Competitive Index. So we choose those areas and try to impact positively on them. But we'll also hold up a mirror through the board in the meetings, the executive authorities, they will highlight the areas which require attention. And we'll obviously ensure that those that we are doing well about, we actually communicate those. With respect to the question around the disciplinary inquiry, if I may clarify, the disciplinary inquiry is related to the Chief Financial Officer and the Stakeholder Relations Director, who were both senior managers. What happened there, as I said earlier, was that there was a deviation from policies that were set within the organization in terms of procurement. And as a consequence of that, the board decided and we acted on it to say we need to investigate why there was deviation from procurement policies and procedures. And obviously, through a process of getting an independent chairperson who chaired the hearing, it was arrived, the decision was arrived that the two managers had indeed deviated from the set policies and procedures, and amongst others had misrepresented the state of affairs to the board and management. And the recommendation of the independent chairperson in both instances was that we dismiss both employees. And so we did dismiss both employees. In the case of the CFO, unfortunately, the matter of the contract which he had entered into, when we put it to the lawyers to give advice on, he was already on suspension, already, in fact, he was, I think, in the process of being dismissed for that matter. So that was not a charge that was leveled against him during his hearing. But if you obviously had been with us, that would be something that would have been brought up. But as I said, they both were dismissed. As we speak, of the two senior managers, the one has taken us to the CPMA, and that is the process we are following. The other manager did not exercise the right to take us to the CPMA, because we believe we had a strong case, the chairperson believed that we had a strong case, and we had acted correctly. And so we are pursuing that matter through the CPMA with the CFO. That would be the issue with those two. So there was no payout as such in that case.
That relates to the food expenditure on what is it, on site advocate and irregular expenditure. Just clarity on that.
Okay, clarity. That is the irregular expenditure that is related to both employees. The issue of the fruitless and wasted expenditure related to the CFO, who unfortunately has already been dismissed. So it will continue to reflect in our books until the end of the year, because we'll only write that off this financial year. But it's a contract that goes back to 2008. And so it wasn't a charge that was brought against him, because the legal opinion was sought while he was still in the organization. When the matter was finalized and the conclusion was reached that we will not be able to recoup any of the money and that we need to cut our losses, he was already out of the organization as we did here. So that would relate to the issue of the fruitless expenditure. It's in relation of the hiring photocopiers, and the contract was so onerous that the photocopiers continued breaking from time to time, and eventually we did not have use of these photocopiers, so they were spending their idle because we then had to bring in another service provider, and yet we had to continue paying them. So it's something that went on for some time, but the board decided that we need to bring this matter to finality. We investigated it, we got a legal opinion, and the lawyer said at the time that we would find it very difficult to extricate ourselves from this contract. We should have really studied it properly at the time of signing, which was 3 or 4 years ago. So it predates this particular board. And so we will have to, unfortunately, write off that amount. There was a question around the issue of the valuation of brands, which I think the chairperson has answered, but in terms of the methodology that is used here, it's a methodology that looks at the GDP and also looks at the output of the individual big companies in a particular country. And if you look at on the continent, for instance, you find about 100 companies that have a turnover in excess of 1 billion. The majority of those would be within South Africa. So all of these are taken into account in evaluating them, creating a valuation of the nation brand. The issue of pride and patriotism, it is our desire, obviously, to ensure that the kind of spirit that we had during the World Cup persists. However, we moved into a phase where we have an active citizenship campaign because we believe the kind of actions we took during the World Cup were appropriate and ideal for the time. But beyond that, we need to get to a place where we build social cohesion and we build unity through active citizenship, where people get involved in tangible things in terms of changing society for the better. So we have a follow-on from what we did last year, a Play Your Part campaign, which is really an appeal to South Africans to play their part wherever they could be, whether it's civil society, whether it's individual. And what we are doing is elevating the stories of people who have already played their part. And through that means we are hoping we will inspire others to play their part, but also it's partly to inspire pride and patriotism, whether it's in the sovereign symbols, the flag, the national anthem, which may have seen is put out quite a lot of information communication together with the Department of Arts and Culture, just teaching people how to sing the national anthem and how to send to attention and things. So that's part of the bigger campaign that we're doing. The issue of the website, the honorable member, well, in a way we are pleased that you could not differentiate our website from South African tourism, because that is really what gives us the economies of scale when we market it outside. In the past, you had about 70 logos in the country, and people never really knew where these places were. Whereas now, there is no way people cannot understand that this is South Africa, whether it's South African tourism, whether it's brand South Africa, or whether it's a trade and investment body. So it does take something, but we'd like to thank you for your compliment there. In fact, our website, among public sector websites, it comes up as a set in terms of not just the content, but the use as well. Reaction in reputation management, obviously, yes, is something that requires rapid response, but as we said, we track anything, and before we respond, we assess with our agencies internationally what is the impact of this particular external event. And once we have a sense of how it is affecting, then we would confer with the relevant departments, in the past we used the GCIS, and say what is the government response or what sort of response is being issued from South Africa, or ourselves for that matter. So indeed, speed is important, but because we work with stakeholders, we always have to ensure that we can clear those things. I will leave the matters that relate to the finances to the CFO to address. Thank you.
Thank you. I will address the issue around audit fees. Indeed, audit fees are high for this institution, but the intention this year is to leverage on the relationship that internal auditors and external auditors should have, so that external auditors can rely on the work that has been carried out by internal auditors. And if you look at our the report from Auditor General again, if I can manage to reduce all the items that have been reported on, obviously the audit fees for this year will go down and ensure that compliance is instilled within the organization, then it will pretty go down. Now, I think more effort is put into performance information that we're talking about. So that's one area that we also need to improve on, but the only evidence that has been referred to. If you get the evidence right, then I'm sure that audit fees are going to come down drastically. Member, we just wanted to you, Chair, to confirm that the question around the staff cost was a double-barrel question related to duplication, can I assume? So would you like the CFO to respond to that, or have I? Thank you very much. Chair, the final point I want to make, going through my checklist, is we didn't respond to who are our brand ambassadors. Okay? And that's about the one I have that still says is outstanding in response, and that is to say to you that if you look at my last slide, and that was the issue around our focus as we move on, is the issue around partnership. And one of the partnerships that we've identified as the board is that we now need to have a framework to recognize and kick out certain individuals and organizations as being brand ambassadors. So with the business card, with the song and dance, with the kit, make sure that they're able to sing our praises, as it were, objectively. And that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be a person that, or an individual only. It could be a company that's doing great work for us internationally. It could be what we call a global South African, who is out there really making strides internationally and holding us proud as South Africans. So we've developed a framework around that, and the board is now in this phase looking at doing that. There are risks involved, and hence we haven't been rushing into that, because today we appoint the chair, or we give the chair business cards and we call him an ambassador, and if the chair is naughty tomorrow, we don't want our brand valuation to go down. So it's something you've got to manage very, very carefully. And hence, we are applying our minds to that. So you will be hearing about brand ambassadors more in the next year, before this board is out of office at the end of 2012. Thank you.
I hope you are not going to make our young president ambassador for the brand, but you can proceed. from what I feel, Chair, the criteria is very stringent, and it will really hinge on the extent to which people live the brand and live the value of South Africa and what you are saying. So it's a very stringent test, if one may put it that way. But I thought I should just comment on the chairperson that said, although we are working on formalizing a brand ambassadorship program, one of the key initiatives that we've been driving over the years is what you call a global South African program. And these are South Africans in the diaspora, what we call expatriate South Africans, throughout the world. It's large in the US and the UK, where we use South Africans, and they may be international people who may be linked to companies or in academia or in multinational institutions, as people that can also talk about South Africa from a very informed perspective. So those global South Africans, wherever they are, they serve as brand ambassadors. And these are people who have subscribed to this network. They get regular information on South Africa. And once or twice a year, for instance, in the UK and the USA, they get together on particular days, heritage days, and Brand South Africa brings them together. And it's a growing network of people. And recently with the Rugby World Cup, we've been able to enroll quite a number of people. There's more than 250 South Africans in New Zealand and Australia who came to Ekaya, and people who voluntarily said they want to become part of that network. It's largely an online network, but as you say, from time to time, once or twice a year, they have an event where you come and talk to them, tell them about South Africa, and they spread the word as well. Thank you.
I must indulge by saying it was a bold initiative. Or if the questions are announced in London last February, and we thought, well, let's see what the reaction is. Because thus far, we've always used the term X in front of what we call them, and it was expatriate. And there was a common notion that that was who was bad mouthing us out there. And we thought, well, let's bring them within the family. And I'm going to say we have all been very touched at the reaction. Because these are proud South Africans. Once they've got beyond rationalizing why they are not at home, we in actual fact have said, the fact that you are playing in the global environment means that we are producing professionals that can hold their own amongst the best in the UK, amongst the best in Australia, etc., which means that the country has prepared you for this. And events such as the Rugby World Cup, when they come from all over the world and they're in green and gold, then you know they're proudly South Africans. And you know, it's really given us a lot of leverage on that, and we've asked our country managers to make that one of their core programs, because you know, we can't go and talk about ourselves outside. Let them talk about us outside, and they've really been doing phenomenal work. So at some stage we'll have a global South African get together in South Africa as well.
I'm sorry, we are done with question number. Thank you very much, Chairperson and your team, to bring the presentation. If you have noticed, I didn't interfere or try to cut you short. I allow you to talk as much as you could, so that what we normally cut you short when you try to explain. But thank you very much, clear and presentation. We hope that we'll continue as a country to grow in terms of our brand and so on. Thank you very much. Members, your Bible, the Old and the New Testament are here. This big thing is that side, one is for SABC, one for MBDA CV. However, if there is some difficulty to carry them, it's fine, give them, they'll get them tomorrow on our meeting at M46, 10 o'clock, not 9, 10 o'clock, you start tomorrow, M46. You can leave the Bible, the New and the Old Testament, you'll get them tomorrow. At the meeting. Thank you very much. We have restructured the program. Tomorrow we are not shortlisting MBDA and SABC. We'll do it in a further program. Tomorrow we are doing USASA in the morning at 10. Then at past 3 we'll be finalizing the PRR report, and then I'll try to do everything.